He is risen. He is risen indeed. I hope you're having a happy Easter. I have over here, I can't hear the music full volume in the room, but to sing it and to know that you're singing and to hear the readings and the confessions, it's been a great comfort to my soul this morning. We're going to be in Colossians 3. At least that's where we're going to start. If you've seen me preach before, you know that I'll probably be all over, but we're going to start in Colossians 3. So if you have Bibles, you can want to turn there. That'd be great. Several weeks ago, when it became clear that our Easter service would be online, I became really, really sad. To the point that I was having trouble thinking about how to celebrate Easter because I was so sad that we couldn't be together. Easter is the end of the Lenten season. The Lenten season is when we think about our mortality, when people sacrifice things to focus on what we have in Christ. And so Easter is supposed to be the celebration, the end of fasting, this feast that caps it off. And it feels in a lot of ways, and I knew it would, like we're still in Lent. We're still sacrificing. And where is the celebration? And I didn't know how to even think about celebrating away from my church family because I so look forward to that. I so look forward to the clothes and to the haircuts. Instead, you're at home in your pajamas and you've cut your own hair and it's not gone well. And that's just where we're at right now. And I love those things and I love the celebration together. And I know that we're not the first people to face this. I know that people have celebrated Easter in wars. On the battlefield, while their families halfway around the world celebrated without them. I know that we're not the first, but it's the first time that I've experienced anything like this. And so I was just really, really struggling with how to celebrate Easter in the middle of a global pandemic. And then I was convicted. I became very convicted in about what I was doing wrong and how I was understanding this wrongly. The reality is that Easter has always been an act of defiance in a world where death still reigns. Every single year, we celebrate Easter surrounded by tears and sickness and loss and death. Every year, we celebrate without friends and family. They should be with us, but aren't. That's every year. But this year, we're just really a lot more aware that is the case. Every year, Easter is the resurrection people of God thumbing their nose at death. It is a declaration to the way of the world that war and sickness and sin and death do not have the final say. Resurrection does. And that is Easter always. And so we will celebrate in our pajamas with our bad haircuts this year like we do. Not my haircut. I got a black market haircut. But your haircut. We will celebrate like we always do. Because what makes Easter special is not the celebration. It's not a sermon. It is not the great songs. It is not the clothes that we wear, the new Jordans that we buy. It's none of those things. What makes Easter special is the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's why it's special. Not for any other reason. That is the most significant thing about today, is that we mark the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We will celebrate in defiance of what the world says reigns. We will celebrate in the middle of very scary times, the way we do every year. We're just going to be more aware of it this year than most years. So I want to say, three things about Easter this morning, real quick. I want to tell you that it really happened. Really happened, and that matters. I want to tell you that it's who we are. It defines us as Christians. And I want to tell you that it matters every single day, every day, all day long. We'll spend more time on the third point than the first two, but I want to at least say them. I look at Colossians 3 real quick. Paul's writing this letter to this people in Colossae, and he says this in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above." Okay, hold on a second. So here's the thing. Paul starts off that section, if you've been raised with Christ. He makes this assumption that Jesus is risen from the dead and that they believe that. And the reason he makes this assumption about resurrection is because at this time, you could still go talk to people. You could still go ask. You could go see Mary. And look, so Matthew 28, Matthew 28 says this. After the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there you will see me." This is the story, and this is what Paul assumes to be true, because you could still go talk to people and check on this and see people who knew it was true. And you could still have conversations about people that were witnesses to this event. And so this is an assumption that Paul makes because people knew it was true. I mean, of course, there are people that doubted it, but so many people believed it was true. And Paul assumes that we are united with him in this event. It really happened. You couldn't make this story up, that a fisherman from Galilee claimed to be God and was crucified and rose again, and that changes everything. It's not a story that you could make up. All of history points to the fact that this really happened. It isn't a metaphor. I read that this week, that someone said they didn't really believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus, and they didn't really believe in the afterlife to which it pointed, but they really love the metaphor of Easter, that in the darkest times, you should look for hope and a great thing to happen. Man, that bothers me so deeply, because without resurrection, there is no real hope. Our hope is in resurrection. This really happened. The tomb, it was really empty. The clothes were set aside and Jesus walked out. This is amazing. And this is why we celebrate. We all know deep in our bones that death is bad. That death is a plague on humanity. That death cannot be satisfied. That constantly pursues us and consumes us. That death is a thief and a robber, and it is the last enemy, and it's the one that we will all have to face. So resurrection, we want it to be real, and it is real. It is something that we all long for. It is something that all of creation yearns for. It is something that we need to be true. And it is. Death, the death that we'll all face, the death and separation from life that is in all of our futures, it is a violation of God's life-giving purposes. And the resurrection, the fact that it really happened, tells us that we have hope. The fact that it really happened, that one time death worked in reverse and that it will again, this is our hope. It tells us that ashes will not outlast beauty. It tells us that weakness can overcome the powerful structures of this world. It tells us that love will triumph over death itself, and that death is not going to have the final word. It really happened. And that is significant. And Paul says this about, it identifies it with who we are. Let me read the rest of what I started reading earlier. Sorry. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4 say this. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. This is who we are. We are resurrection people, Christians, those joined to Jesus by faith. We are joined in his resurrection. We're Easter people. That's who we are always. I'm not a Christian because of how I grew up. I am not a Christian because I like their music on the radio. I do not. I am not a Christian because it helps me make sense of all that's going on right now, because it doesn't. It gives me an answer, but it doesn't explain everything. I'm a Christian because the tomb was empty. But I'm a Christian because Jesus rose again from the dead, and we have to deal with that reality in our lives. And since he did, we can talk about all manner of theological things, and we should. I'm definitely for that. But Jesus coming back from the dead is the thing that unites us and gives us hope, that we are joined to him by faith. It is the center of history. And if we didn't celebrate Easter at all, it would still be the most important thing that has ever happened in time and space. And that affects everything. It's the center of history, and it's the center of our lives. It's the center of who we are, that Jesus died and rose again. We are resurrection people. We are Easter people. So that means that it matters always, right? There's never a time that it doesn't matter that that's who we are. There's never a time that the fact that Jesus rose from the dead doesn't shape our lives. It doesn't affect our thinking. It means that we can be forgiven. It means that we will live forever. It means that we can have hope right now. Life already felt pretty heavy for a lot of people before all this happened. Work and careers and family and friends and community and all of the things that we needed to do, they were already a lot. Before this, people already struggled with anxiety and depression. People were struggling and suffering from cancer before the global pandemic. People were already dealing with loss, and a lot of us were already at capacity. And then you add on top of that all that's happened in the last month, and it can almost feel like a weight too much to bear at times. So what do we do with, on top of all of those things already, when job loss, struggles of meaning and purpose, loss of community, some days it feels like the loss of sanity, the absolute loss of normal for almost all of us. Do you guys remember normal? A lot of us didn't handle normal well. And then you throw a global pandemic on top of that, man, it's just hard. And so how do we live in light of all of these things, this illness and the fear and anxiety that have accompanied it, at the very least have made us aware, most of us aware, I hope, anyway, of our great need of salvation. It's always there. We just see it so clearly right now. So, if we stop, feel like we are today, and we think about it, and we meditate on resurrection, and we dwell on it, the reality of the resurrection can help guide us in all of these things, because Paul says it's a present reality, that the resurrection that we have now, being united with Christ, that His resurrection counts as our resurrection, that we have that present reality now, that we are raised with Him already in some way beyond time and space, that it counts for us now. I get together every summer with a group of guys, and a lot of times we watch the same movies, right? Over and over again. And every year when we get together, sometimes most years we'll watch a football game, maybe one that we were all at together. And it's a great time. We love doing it. It's not the same watching a football game the second, third, fourth, or fifth time. You still celebrate and cheer like amazing plays, and you're like, over the top screaming like, that's the best thing I've ever seen. It's so amazing. Every time I see it, blah, 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 blah. We love doing that. But the miscues, the bad snaps, the penalties, the drop passes, the blown calls, those you still make you wince, but they don't sting quite as bad because you know the ending, right? You know the final score. And so they don't affect you in the same way. And resurrection affects us now because we know that it has the final say. Not death and not sickness and not illness, but resurrection has the final say. And this affects how we live now. Right before Paul starts talking about how we are united with Christ in His resurrection, he actually talks about how we're united with Him in His death. He says this in verse 20, just right before it in his letter. He says, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of this world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they're used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgences of the flesh. Paul says that not only are we united with Christ in His resurrection, but in some way we've been united with Him in His death, in His victory over what he calls the elemental powers. Paul's argument, he's talking about people in the church who are doing like extra holy things, right? They're doing super spiritual things, like, I don't know, like wearing itchy sweaters, and every time they scratch, like, oh, we confess, or whatever. They're doing like very super spiritual things. And Paul, to seem super spiritual, and they're just physical things. There's no spirituality behind it. And Paul says to them, why are you doing that? Like, why would you be tempted to do those things? That's not a new thing. That's the old way. Like the new way in Christ doesn't look anything like that. The old way is the way the world worked. We thought the world worked. Well, you know how the world works, right? Like might is right. Power wins. That's always wins. And so those that have power are the ones that always win. You know how the world works, that death gets us all in the end, that strength triumphs over weakness. That's the way the world works. And Paul says that way of thinking, this leveling up in spirituality based on these physical acts that you're doing alone, so that you can look and go, look at me, I'm super special. And that makes me feel okay, because I can do these things and point to the things that I'm doing and go, see, look, I'm okay. Those people over there, they're not doing the things. They're not okay. We're okay because we're doing the things. Paul says that's not a new thing. You've just made a different religion. You've just made a different structure that just looks just like the world. That's not what it's about. It's about being united with Jesus through faith in His death and resurrection. That we are joined to Him, and that His triumph over the elemental powers powers, the way that the world seems to work, is our evidence and our promise that those ways will not be final, that those ways will not have the final say. To build themselves up is just another way of following the ways of the world. But the resurrection proves that that is not the end. The resurrection proves that body and creation matter to God. We're embodied beings. Have you experienced that? I don't know if you've been quarantined and maybe seen somebody from like 10 feet away as they drove past your house and rolled down the window and you got to see someone that you love. It's different seeing them in person than it is on a screen. This creation matters. Being present with one another matters, and we are longing for it. Being embodied creatures in a creation that God loves, it matters. Resurrection proves that. Resurrection proves that God cares about these things. It proves that you matter to God, that He would come and die and be raised so that you might have life. It means that you matter to Him. Not the effort, not the accomplishments that you can put together to show your resume that you're holy, but you matter. And the resurrection is just evidence of that, that you do not have to find your purpose and your meaning. The kind of current religion of the day, in America at least, anywhere with money, really, is self-expression, right? The highest good is me being able to express my authentic self. That's kind of the religion that's in the air of the day in Disney songs and such. This religion that's pervasive everywhere, we've been alone for a month now with our authentic selves. It's not going great for a lot of us. And resurrection proves that we do not have to find our authentic self and live it out to be okay. And it's not a way to salvation, but salvation is alien, that it came from outside of us and died on a cross that we could have life. This is our resurrection hope, that it's not left up to us, but it's left up to the one who could and did accomplish it on our behalf. That is why we are resurrection people. That's why it matters that this tomb is empty. That's why it matters that every single day we understand the implications of the resurrection, that what is happening right now is not the end. The resurrection proves it. You matter to God. This creation matters to God, and He's come that we may have life and life more abundantly, even in the midst of this. Easter indeed is a celebration that I need, but it's not a celebration that I can make. It's not a celebration that you can make. It is a celebration because of what Christ has done on our behalf. Christ has come. He has died. He has risen, and He is coming again. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Make Easter a reality. Help us realize that we are Easter people always. We may live in the already, but not yet, but we are people of the resurrection. Increase our faith that we might lean on you always and in all things. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.